Your legacy is about more than just investment returns. It's about the peace of mind that comes with knowing your investments are in the right hands and that you've partnered with an investment manager who has the right skills and experience to grow your wealth. Old Mutual Wealth is a world-class investment destination, offering you a wide range of investment strategies and specialist wealth management solutions. Whether your goal is to grow your wealth, generate income, or preserve capital, Old Mutual Wealth selects the best and most suitable investments based on your investment strategy and their extensive research and insights. Together with your financial planner, Old Mutual Wealth's team of experienced specialists go to great lengths to understand what really drives you. Once they know your priorities, they model a strategy around your specific needs, supported by a multi-skilled team dedicated to taking your wealth further. Whether your goal is to grow your wealth, generate income, or preserve and pass on capital, Old Mutual Wealth is here to partner with you on this journey so that you can do more, have more, leave more, and be more. Old Mutual Wealth is an advice-led wealth management business aimed at providing financial planners and their clients with a full suite of industry-leading strategies and services. For more information, please visit their website on www.oldmutual.co.za/wealth. Hi there, I'm Aarti Vabikrasoon.
Hello, I'm Malika Peterson.
Welcome to
The Swan Effect Podcast.
Money makes the world go round, yet it's not so easy to understand its complexities, particularly when it comes to investing.
That's why Aarti and I are using this platform to educate, inspire, and help you gain confidence in your relationship with money.
So that you can better manage your finances and investments.
We are two women in finance.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It certainly is. You've been in stockbroking, private wealth management, asset management, and now an award-winning businesswoman who is coaching and assisting businesses with capital and strategic advice.
And Malika, you have a wealth of experience in wealth, excuse the pun, in financial planning, investments, and relationship management. So you're also at the coalface when it comes to where and how people are investing, both getting it right and getting it wrong.
And stuck in the gray areas too. Indeed, I've seen the many phases and moods of financial cycle and how our decisions at those times impact us. So listeners and subscribers, if you are looking to get unstuck, feel empowered, and make some strides in how you tackle your money, we are here to help you.
And it all starts with listening to this upcoming episode. Enjoy. Hi, Malika. Hi, everyone. Yes, today we want to deep dive into something which either the world refers to as financial power through collective effort. Now, in most of the world, this is actually referred to as crowdfunding. But here in South Africa, everyone, we have a term that encompasses this concept. And the meaning is just so much more than crowdfunding. So the term that we use, everyone, is Ubuntu. Ubuntu is an ancient African word meaning humanity to others. It's often described as reminding us that I am what I am because of who we all are, right? And I think people do know that. Now, also, many people may be asking, well, how possible that Ubuntu is considered an investment vehicle or a tool to explain, to actually move ahead with this? And, to explain, I think we must go back to original purpose of our podcast. We originally set out to improve the financial situations of you, our listeners, through education and also learning, but from each other. And our very first example of crowdfunding or Ubuntu as an investment is the good old Stokvel. For those of you who are not local South Africans, Stokvel is an Afrikaans word, again, talking about collective pooling and savings. And this is actually where people would come together monthly
pool all the money that's invested, save towards a common goal. Okay. Now, this goal, maybe on a lovely trip together, maybe you're saving towards buying groceries during the festive season. Things get expensive, huh? But, you know, essentially the purpose of the savings group, everyone, is to gain the benefits that come with collective investments and savings. So these benefits include cost savings, because, I mean, think of it. It's the buying power of bulk, in bulk as well. Group also comes together with the benefit of keeping each other accountable. So each member in this collective acts as that accountability partner to one another. That ensures that everyone in the group sticks to the saving plan and the achievement of the savings goal. I would say the last benefit, which we should not undervalue in any way, Malika, is the benefit of fellowship. The association with the joy that a fellowship brings, the achievement of reaching that collective goal, and also that savings aspect that leads to this tendency to want to continue to save and save and save and save. I mean, we cannot underrate that. So, Malika, what are some of the other examples of crowdfunding or Ubuntu investment that you can share with our listeners?
So this example, Arti, is very close to my heart, right? Country like South Africa, where we've had a difficult legacy. Many South Africans are first-generation professionals, right? We've only had the opportunity to study, et cetera, et cetera. And we're kind of the first in our families to be able to become professionals. Now, this brings with it a responsibility that we kind of feel towards our extended families, right? And while this responsibility is amazing and we are very blessed to be in the position to help others, it does make it more difficult for us to achieve the levels of wealth that we actually aspire to grow to. So this amazing strategy that I believe can ensure the financial freedom of future generations. And I want to talk a little bit about it. So let's assume every member of a family starts contributing towards a family investment that will provide for the education needs of all the children in that family, all the offspring in that family, either the education or entrepreneurial needs, right? So what this does is, number one, it ensures that all the children in a family get educated. That's the first benefit. Mm-hmm. And in turn, once they start contributing economically or becoming economically active, yes, they can start contributing towards the fund that will go on to create education, financial assistance to the rest of the kid coming from. Yes. So what this does is it's really a beautiful kind of crowdfunding, because mm-hmm, it ensures the financial legacy of the members of this family is passed down from generation to generation. Mm. And in turn, this creates intergenerational wealth, right? Which is really the goal. I mean, that's like the ultimate goal. So even the opportunities of the older generation, even though the opportunities of the older generation were limited, what we're doing is by crowding all of this investment pool, we're ensuring that future generations create generational wealth. Mm. It also ensures another thing. The younger members of the family are getting the wisdom and financial education in this process, because the members of this family would need to discuss and agree on the funding, right? I mean, you can't just go to the fund and say, I want 100,000 rand or whatever it may be. They're going to have a discussion and agreement, understanding the impacts on the rest of the family. So the younger member who really wants access to this funding is going to need to pitch their proposal, right? Yes. And this gives them skills of articulating a proposal and presenting it for scrutiny, which really does kind of prepare them for the rest of the world. There's also the sense of responsibility that comes with being granted the funding from this pool, because the reality of the situation is that your family members are now dependent on you achieving success in order to continue this legacy. So there's a sense of responsibility. I need to do well in my studies, or I need to do well in this business venture that I'm starting, so that you are able to continue the legacy. There's this really, really beautiful old Indian proverb that says, blessed is he who plants trees under whose shade he will never sit. Oh. And this really sums up what this concept is. It's the act of investing to ensure the financial freedom of future generations.
Oh, Monica, I mean, that is such a beautiful representation of all the things that make our country so special. And I love that last quote as well. I mean, you've shared how there's so much opportunity to make our future brighter, right? And speaking of opportunity, the next example, everyone, of crowdfunding or Ubuntu refers to a partnership. Okay, so let's assume that we are keen to get into property investing, okay, as an additional source of income. You'll remember from our previous episodes, we've talked about property as well. If you haven't, please go back and review. You'll learn a couple of interesting tidbits around that, right? Property is not all what it seems. There's lots of different opportunities there too. So coming back, we could think about forming a partnership with, let's say, 2 to 3 other people, okay? And we purchase this property together. It needs to be renovated. Maybe we want to unsell it again. Maybe we want to rent it and get some income. There's different things that could happen. But now that we're in a partnership, everyone in the partnership can gain access to funding as a group, right? And that will allow you to go into this investment. The other key thing is you've got access to expertise, right? Everyone may have had different
very important, right?
You kind of pool all of this collective knowledge as well and also share that responsibility in the venture. In most instances, Malika, I think ventures like these, in addition to other forms of investments or income, you as an individual, you may not have that full capacity to undergo and do this. But now when you've got this kind of support with people in the venture, I think it just makes a world of difference. So this particular scenario, everyone, the shared responsibilities, there's clear definition, okay? There's clear accountability. Okay, so I'm painting a really idealistic picture over here. But again, there's a few things you need to consider. Okay, this is my risk lens always coming in, right? Firstly, it's quite imperative that you have a proper partnership agreement in place, okay? It must define the terms of this partnership so everybody then can be accountable for what they need to be accountable for, right? So important to govern the relationship. Also, define how you're going to resolve disputes, should and when they arise. Now, obviously, we're hoping it doesn't, but this is business. This is an investment. We could disagree and have differences of opinion. So have some sort of way to be able to resolve that, especially if it tends to escalate. Also, have a very clear understanding, everybody, of how this particular property investment, for example, fits in with your overall financial plan. Remember that, right? We're building out our money verse. We're looking for financial freedom. Each of you are going to have different things in this pool of what you're looking to gain out. So also understand for yourself how this is going to work for you. And please do speak to your financial advisor so that you're working together with a different partner now, of course, to ensure that your clear path, I mean, it's planned for, it's clear exactly how this venture is going to fit in to that bigger plan that you're hoping to get.
Hmm? Yeah, that's absolutely key, Adya. I mean, like with everything we discuss, how it all fits into your personal financial plan is absolutely imperative, right? And I want our listeners to remember that. The last example of crowdfunding or Ubuntu is for those who are looking to start a business. Now, you would have created your business plan and done all the necessary market research around your market opportunities. And once that's all completed and you're ready to start your business, there are various ways of raising capital to do so. You could go to a bank to loan the money. You could try and get investors, et cetera, et cetera. So one of the ways of raising funding to start your business initiative or your entrepreneurial adventure is crowdfunding. So what this essentially means is that you approach people with your business idea and they contribute towards your funding because they believe in your idea or they believe in the growth of a certain area, etc. Right. Now, there are many ways of doing this. There are platforms like Ufundo that allows people to support your initiative, and they basically encourage mutual assistance. And the nice thing about this is that they expose you to a community of people that are able to assist with anything from resources, information, expertise, networking opportunities to financial assistance. It's a vast array of things that you can gain access to. And generally, these are mainly people who want to support a community.
Yeah.
Or interested in funding a business idea to do so. Your plan needs to very clearly include how this is going to benefit that community or sometimes the environment. Some people are into crowd investments or crowdfunding investments are really, they want to see ideas that is going to improve the environment and they're happy to contribute money towards that. Or just society as a whole. So make sure that you articulate your plan with those things in mind.
I'm so glad you mentioned this particular thing about the business. I've dabbled in it, Malika, and I must say, I mean, there's so many, firstly, platforms out there. So you've mentioned one locally in South Africa. There's things like Backer Buddy, GoFundMe. Internationally, there's things like Kickstarter as well and Crowdcube. But one of the things through my own experiences, and I think I want to share this now with our listeners, is there's definitely some do's and don'ts around crowdfunding. And maybe let's think of it from this business perspective then, Malika. So what comes to your mind then in terms of some of these do's and don'ts when it comes to crowdfunding if you're starting up a small business?
So I think let's start with the do's, right? A key first one is to communicate more, right? I think those who are investing in you want to be kept updated generally, but also often, right? You need to share the wins, but you also need to share the difficulties. You never know where that helping hand is going to come from to solve the problem when you need it the most, right?
Yeah.
So whichever platform you end up using or choosing, do a regular post. If people are creating things, respond timeously. This is part of your brand and reputation, and it is a responsibility that you have to those who have funded your entrepreneurship. So build that credibility to set up for your next rounds of funding.
Yeah, I think that's such a valuable point to underscore, Malika. I mean, I've just noticed on some of the platforms, those who are responding timeously, who are updating regularly, it's like exciting when you're an investor in that, right? Because you feel like you're walking that journey. It's that partnership. It's that collective piece we're talking about. And you know, everyone, there's a variety of ways to communicate with funders. I mean, don't just think you have to now put... I mean, this is the age of video and AI and all of that stuff. So use those kind of tools, use graphics, use video, keep it real, but also keep it refreshing as well.
I know, for sure, for sure. And I think in terms of keeping it real, I think a key don is don't share on platforms outside of the funding one, unnecessarily, right? Yeah. Funders are really using that platform to communicate with you. So be respectful and mindful that there's a reason behind that, right? It may be tempting to publicize widely, but use your discretion.
Oh, yes. If I think from some of mine, I mean, there's certain things I wouldn't want others to kind of know about because I'm using that particular platform. So I think that's a really beautiful reason. And I know, we're saying, you know, post regularly and keep things live and real so your funders are interested. But I think another thing that I've noticed that works really well is, especially as you're growing, when you're getting a lot of funders in, it's very tempting. You want to try and like ensure you're getting in touch with everyone directly. So initially, that might be very possible when it's just those few. But let's say you're getting more and more people that are interested in what you're offering and your business and all of that. It's going to become difficult, okay? And oftentimes, people may have the same questions. So you trying to answer every single person, I think a smarter way to think about it is rather than to create something like a frequently asked questions section, so FAQs. So if you're noticing people are asking similar questions, just add it to that FAQ section, update it regularly. You can channel people into that space in case they're thinking about stuff. So there's smart ways as well of managing the communication piece, I think.
Oh, no, absolutely. And you just reminded me of something. Don't forget to take that liability insurance. It's so important, right?
Oh, yes.
I know insurance is seen as a grudge versus many of us, and especially for a small business where every penny counts, right? It can end up being expensive, but should you have claims against you, your business, you want to make sure that you know that you are covered. It's so important.
Oh, I'm so glad I reminded you to point that out. That is so important. Okay, so I think maybe one final don't from me, and maybe it's something that we end up getting carried away because we're so excited that we're doing this, is everyone, don't expect that the funds will come rolling in immediately.
Yeah.
That does not always happen that way. And I think it often does trip us up. We're so excited about our business. We're enthused. We're putting ourselves out there to get crowdfunding. And you're expecting, oh man, everybody's going to buy into me. Unfortunately, it can take a little bit of time. So that whole idea about build it and they will come. Oh, you remember that quote, Monica? In this day and age, it actually takes a lot more of dedicated time, massaging, communication, in order to entice funders to select your project to fund. So just be mindful this bit of time and energy that's going to be required before those funds come running in. Yeah?
Yeah. So far, we've given the do's and don'ts that we've mentioned, and they speak directly to you wanting to get to that business or side hustle going, right? But let's consider if you're investing in crowdfunding.
Okay. Yeah.
So you are the funder.
Yes.
What are some of the do's and don'ts that apply there, Arti?
Oh, okay. So I would say definitely do know the rules around the investment that you're funding. Also, what is the process to invest? Okay. Yeah. Even if you're just putting in like an absolute minimum amount, 500 Rand or 1,000 Rand, depending what that level might be for that opportunity for you, know what that means for you from a tax perspective, an income perspective, the costs of using the platform perhaps that you're choosing. In other words, everybody, read and understand the T's and C's. There's always T's and C's. And then, of course, read up more about the investment that you're supporting, okay? Knowledge is power. We always say this in our show, okay? So ask questions. Gain clarity from the founders. Know what it is that you can expect as a funder. You know, are you going to receive some kind of a return? Are there going to be dividends? Are there other growth ways in which you're going to get something by? Also, by when is this going to happen, right? Be mindful. Are there any lock-ins that you need to be made aware of? So I guess all in all, if I summarize this, Malika, I'd say just be informed, everybody. And also just take a vested interest. After all, you're putting the money in, right? As with anything around financial planning, you're putting the money in, know what you can expect to get out of it. Lastly, I would say always review any investment that you make, including crowdfunding, in light of your financial goals. So we're coming back to what we said earlier. It's so important. Things change, life happens, and so too are your financial needs going to change, everybody. So speak with your financial advisor, consult your financial coach, and use them to help you navigate this investment journey with their support.
It's a whole lot of key information to digest.
It is a lot. I mean, indeed, it seems so easy. It seems quite thrilling, you know, and especially since we've set the scene about that Ubuntu nature or everything, Malika, right? Because it gives you that really warm feeling. But again, we're talking from that is such a good way to actually evolve and build out community and environment and all of that. But also be prudent. That's required because you never know what could go wrong and you want to cover yourself against that.
Yeah.
And I suppose with that, Malika, we're coming to the end of our conversation. So what would be your parting shot for today?
Firstly, the whole episode has given me so much to think about. I think when we were prepping, again, we're learning along with the listeners, which is awesome. And it allows us to deep dive into these subjects, which is great. And I think the one thing that stuck out for me, which is my parting shot for today, is that we often get stuck on the reasons why we can't change our financial situation, right? But there are so many opportunities to build initiatives that lead to our economic growth, our family's economic growth, our community's economic growth, and as a result, our country's economic growth. And I think we mustn't forget that. We mustn't forget that at the end of the day, that's the true sense of Ubuntu. The true sense of Ubuntu is growth by osmosis, right? We share, we help each other. So I think that's a really important point that we have to remember. What about you, Ati? What is your parting shot?
You're giving me such warm and fuzzy feelings now, because the way you're talking about it. And I love the alluding to the mindset and the habits and the beliefs, which we've spoken about previously as well in other episodes, listeners. So take a listen to that. But I am such an optimist. I personally believe in the opportunity that crowdfunding offers. Having, as I mentioned, invested in projects myself, oh boy, did I make mistakes. I was so green, Malika. But you know, I quickly learned, everyone. And now I'm more critical as a result. Because of that learning, I now know more, and therefore I question more, okay? All of these things that we're offering to you in terms of guidance and the ideas in this area, should you wish to consider it. So everyone, continue to explore the opportunities in front of you, but don't be blinded by fool's gold, okay? You are savvier than what you believe you are. And of course, you can find out more as a result.
Savvy, everyone.
Savvy, Malika. And with that Captain Jack Sparrow reference, I caught that one. Before we get to World's End on Stranger Tides.
And hopefully find out any dead man's
chain. Catch you until the next episode, everybody.
Until then, ciao.
Ciao.
Sharing is caring.
And knowledge is power.
Time for you to be daring.
And let your money confidence bloom like a sunflower.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you found these ideas and guidance useful.
Do subscribe, share, and write a review, or send us comments. We would love to hear from you.
Catch you on the next episode
of the Swan Effect Podcast.
Bye for now.
Ciao.